following message was given at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Coconut Creek, Florida.
All right, today in our adult Sunday school class, we're going to do something a little bit different. Some of you know that just a couple of weeks ago, I was away at the Reformed Baptist Seminary board meeting. And so I think it's good for us from time to time to kind of be updated on that ministry, since we are one of the overseeing churches of Reformed Baptist Seminary. And while we were there, there was a very good PowerPoint presentation kind of updating on what's happening with the school right now. And I asked if that could be made available. I believe I asked that. But anyhow, it was made available to all of us on the board so that we could go over it with our churches if we desired to do so. And so I wanted to do that today. And so you're familiar. I think if we're going to be involved in this ministry, that I want all of you to be, you know, fully informed about the work, and I think you'll be encouraged by some of the things that you'll hear about it today. I want to begin by just reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where Paul writes to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And this reminds us that special training for men who will be teachers is something that we find biblical warrant for, and in fact that Paul commands Timothy to engage in. You really, if you think about it, I think you have four generations there. You have Paul, and then Timothy was converted under Paul's ministry, and Paul invested into Timothy as a minister of the gospel. And he's telling Timothy that he's to take the things that he had heard from the apostle, and he is to commit these to other men who are faithful men. Two qualifications: they're faithful men, they're men who have ability to teach others. And so you have Paul, Timothy, those Timothy was to commit these things to, and then those that he committed those things to, they were to teach others. And so you have four generations really represented there. But it does give biblical warrant and underscores the importance of this is something over and above the general teaching that's given to the church at large, because this is teaching that's to be given to a specific subset of men who have proven themselves to be faithful, who have gifts and ability to teach others. And so this is really the biblical basis, really, of a specialized theological and ministerial training, and something that the church ought to be concerned about and involved in various ways, and in the ways that we can be involved in. And we have the opportunity to be very intimately involved in this work. And so I put this picture of these ugly people. Now, you're going to actually realize how badly we need a new camera before this is over. It's something that we're working on and hopefully going to be able to budget soon, because this, I'm looking at this PowerPoint here on my screen, and it looks beautiful, but it's not going to look that way. It's going to be, sometimes it's going to be hard to see because our camera's kind of outdated, and it's degrading over time, and eventually, God willing, we'll be able to get a new one. But these ugly guys, you know most of these people. Every single one of them has ministered in the pulpit here at one time or another since I've been here, except for the guy in the back in the middle, but he was here at the RBNet meeting. You have that's, of course, if you don't know, that's me over there. Then Robert Elliott's behind me. And then next to me is Jeff Johnson. Then next to him is Robert Briggs. The next to him is Bob Gonzalez. And back there in the back, the beardy fellow, that's Pastor Borgman, Brian Borgman. And then Jamie Howell is in the center. And now Bob Gonzalez, he's the dean. Dr. Bob's the dean of Reformed Baptist Seminary. And then the other men each represent the six churches. We're the men that are on the governing board, the board of directors for the seminary, the six churches that oversee the seminary, which is the church in Sacramento, where Robert Briggs is, and then the church in Grand Rapids, where Jeff Johnson is the pastor, our congregation, Robert Elliott's church, Riverside, California, and then Jamie Howell is at Grace Baptist in Taylors, South Carolina, and then Brian Borgman at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. That's how they say it, Nevada. Okay? So that's from our recent board meeting, so that's proof that I was there, and we met together. We had really good board meetings, this year. So I just want to run through some of this with you, and hopefully I know what I'm doing. There's the beautiful photo of Pastor Gonzalez, very up close, Reformed Baptist Seminary Dean's Report. And it begins with some of the new students that we've had this year and applications. I'm a little bit flying, you know, on, I don't have premeditated or prepared things to say, and I'm not exactly sure how long this takes to get through. So I'm going to be working my way through it. At some points, I may have to really speed up. You know, I've got to keep my eye on the clock because I want to have some time for you to ask questions. But anyway, students, we've been doing some studies. We have a man that works for us named Vadim. He's kind of the executive secretary, assistant with Reformed Baptist Seminary. And we've been doing some studies to see where the interest in the seminary is coming from and things of that nature. This map doesn't really show up very good because everything kind of looks like it's the same color. If you were looking at my map, there's different parts of the world that are colored in different ways and different colors, and those match to this little thing at the bottom, which is a color spectrum, and that matches to, you know, the darker colors is where the most interest in the seminary is coming from, and you know, you can see that part, but this will help when we look at this, because this actually gives figures of who has been interested in Reformed Baptist Seminary and has visited our website and so forth, and you'll see the countries listed in order in terms of amount of a degree or quantity of interest. And, of course, most has come from the United States with 12,825 users and then new users. And then you have India, which is interesting that that's second, South Africa, Canada, United Kingdom, Philippines, Singapore, Nigeria, and then Australia and Brazil. So those are the top 9 or 10 countries from which we've had interest in the seminary through visits to the website and so forth. Then one of the things that we're doing now with Reformed Baptist Seminary is we have a method by which you can get into many of the courses and audit them for free. And we used to charge a small fee to audit the courses. And what that means is you're able to go to this part of the website and you can click on that. For example, if you want to go through the hermeneutics course or the Old Testament introduction course, you click on that, and when that comes up, you'll have all of the videos, and you'll also usually have all the lecture notes, and all of that's for free, and you can go through that yourself. Now, you're not going to get graded, you know, you're not going to have a mentor, you're not going to get, you know, seminary credit for doing that. That's where that requires us to do a lot of extra work, and so that costs money to do that. You have to pay the fees to be actually enrolled in the seminary. But anyone that wants to, any of you, if you want to go there and there's a certain course you're interested in, you want to go through, you can do that. And so sometimes we've done that in our men's leadership class. So we had 733 new accounts this year. In other words, people who signed up, established an account, even though they're not paying anything, to audit the courses, 733 people. And see, the goal there is to make this theological training accessible to anyone, really. Okay, but now again, you're going to do all the work, but you're not going to get credit for it in terms of doing it on your own. But you can do that if you'd like to do that. And I know a lot of people are taking advantage of that. Again, I apologize for the yellow, ugly color because our camera is about had it, but here are, give you an idea of how many applications we've had just this past semester, new applications. You can read that, 23 applications for the fall of 2020, 11 for the spring of 2021, and 48 applications for this coming fall. The new semester is just starting up. And then that translates as of when we had our board meeting a couple of weeks ago in terms of who had actually finished the applications, had been accepted, gone through the interview and so forth. That's 22 new students for the fall. That should be 2021. 8 new students for the spring and 34, I mean, the bottom one should be 34 new students for the fall of 2021 instead of 2020. And that's probably up now because some of these applications were still in the process. If you look at the top figures being processed when we met together, I imagine they've all been processed now. So that gives you an idea of how many new students we've had this year. And that's just similar type information. You know, we've got some guys working for the seminary that really like numbers and like to do these kinds of charts and numbers and so forth. And it's helpful because it helps us to get a picture of what's going on. And basically that's the same thing you looked at, but in a chart form. And it goes back to 2018 in terms of how many applications were started. It's supposed to be blue, looks purple. How many applications were completed? And then how many enrolled? And this figure goes all the way back. This chart goes all the way back to the beginning. Now, many of you know this, but the seminary, Reformed Baptist Seminary, was actually started in Easley. When I was a pastor there with Dr. Gonzalez, and the school was started in 2005. Originally, we had a group of people, young men that we were working with. Jeff Johnson was one of them, who's now pastor at Grand Rapids. And we put together kind of a training program that he was going through, and we were utilizing materials that were made available by Grand Rapids. They had what they called the Reformed Baptist School of Theology, which was kind of a makeshift kind of a way of trying to preserve some teaching from the academy and from other sources, and in VHS. You'd order the big VHS cassettes, and some of you are looking, you don't even know what those are, but anyhow, You plug them in and you watch the lecture, and it was very, you know, the video was terrible and everything. But so we were working with guys. Bob and I were also on their board, and so we came up with this idea for a distance learning seminary that was better organized, and we kind of laid it out at the board meeting to everyone. That would have been, I think, 2004, and They were on board with it. Everyone was excited about it, and that's how it started. It started officially in 2005 with 9 students. And so while I was at Easley from 2005 to 2009, its physical address was Covenant Reformed Baptist Church in Easley. And of course, many of you know that I relocated here in 2009. And at that point, the physical address moved across town to the other side of Greenville, to Taylor's, South Carolina. You saw the photo of Jamie, who's one of the pastors there. Part of the reason that happened is you can see the number of students had grown, and we were a small church in Easley. We always would joke that we had a lot of different things going on, the Dominican Republic, and also with this, that we felt like we were kind of like a pin balancing a beach ball on the top of it. We had 2 budgets that we were working with, the seminary budget, the church budget, and a number of things that we were trying to do, and we didn't have any secretarial help or anything like that. And so we moved everything over to Taylor's. It's a larger church. They had a secretary who could work with Bob and help him and relieve him of a lot of the secretarial responsibilities. And then eventually Dr. Gonzalez moved to Sacramento, where his family is, because of health issues with his family. And the Sacramento church had become one of the overseeing churches too, and so that worked well. And so now, in terms of the physical mailing address of the seminary, it's in Sacramento, California. So anyhow, there you get an idea of the growth of the school and the students. We had a dip at one point because we changed some of the requirements. We raised the, around 2000, I guess it was 2010, 11, we raised the cost for the school. We added a semester enrollment fee that you had to pay, and that was in order to move people along, because the problem you have sometimes with distance learning, if you don't have built into that certain motivations to keep people moving, they'll drag their feet, and you know, you spend 10 years trying to work with someone getting their degree, or 12 years, and we didn't want to do that. And so when we raised some of that, those fees, we lost some students, but then it started building back up. As you can see, 2021 was our highest enrollment, 103. Okay, here's the programs that we have. This new, the one at the top is a new one. The certificate program, I'll be talking about that in a moment. The Merrow program has a different name now. I'll talk about that in a moment. The Scholars program, the Divinity is the largest, the highest level degree that we offer, the Bachelor of Divinity, Master of Divinity. And then we have the Counseling program, Master of Arts in Counseling that we offer, and we work together with another Christian counseling institution. And in fact, we have two people in our church who are taking that. One of them's Pastor Paul, and he's almost finished. I mean, he's moving through that pretty fast, and he'll have his master's degree, Master of Arts in Counseling. And then we have a combination program that we're working with Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Right now, we don't have anyone in that. That's something new, and it involves some sharing of credits and so forth with them. And we've also been in consultation with them about developing a THM degree in conjunction with them that would have a Baptist focus. They offer a THM degree. That's just a little bit higher than an MDiv. It's more of an academic degree. It's more like a degree for someone who would be teaching in a seminary and also a stepping stone to a PhD. And so they've approached us about us working together, and that's been a real encouragement to us that they think that well of what we're doing, that they want to work together with us. And this would be a degree in which we would have some Baptist professors and some Paedo-Baptist professors from their seminary that would be teaching courses on a THM level, so that someone could go from our school into a THM that would have their backing behind it. So that's been an interesting development. All right, here are the degrees that let's see, that didn't come up, did it? This one's not coming up. There it is. Oh, wait a minute. I think I'm stuck or something here. There we are. Yeah, there we go. Okay. 105 graduates. We've given out 117 degrees. Can anybody guess why we would have 105 graduates but have 117 degrees, more degrees than graduates? Anybody guess? Yeah. Like the master, if you get the Master of Arts, all of your credits transfer into the Master of Divinity program. So some guys have gotten the Master of Arts, and then they've gone on into the Master of Divinity, and all of their credits have transferred into that. So they've actually gotten two degrees in that way. Okay? So we've given five diplomas of theological studies, two bachelors of divinity. That's for someone who meets certain qualifications that they have to meet, who hasn't received an undergraduate degree, a bachelor's degree. There are some students like that we will receive into the divinity program. And if they are received, and they complete that program, it's a bachelor of divinity that they receive. And then we have the master divinity. That's how many graduates we had this year. The top figures, 20 graduates. And then since the school started in 2005, you can see the breakdown of degrees that we've given, and there have been 117 degrees that have been given out. All right? 24 Master Divinity or Bachelor Divinity degrees. All right. I don't know, brother. This thing's not responding to me here. Maybe I'm not holding my mouth right or something. Okay. No. It's showing up on this screen, but it's not showing up on that screen. Yeah, something's wrong. Is there a special way you're supposed to do your finger? That worked! There you go. I've got it now. All right, we got it. I just have to do a little bit of this kind of stuff. Should I be just scrolling it like that? It's probably better, right?
Either way.
Okay. All right. That's good. Let's. Yeah. You want to just sit right there for a minute in case it doesn't. If you don't mind. Okay. All right. There. This is a study we did this year. It's what kind of ministry position were you in when you started at RBS? And so you'll notice the dark blue or whatever those colors are, I'm sorry, but 12% were already men who were part-time paid staff pastors. And then you'll see the kind of orangey color, 32% were already full-time paid staff. Then 12% were bivocational men who are unpaid. And then the 6% were deacons. In fact, one of our deacons, as you know, Jeff Barker, graduated this year with one of the degrees, and the Master of Arts degree, diploma. And then the others are just broken down. And okay, well, it's not moving on the screen.
We'll just start it over.
So you guys are seeing why we need a new camera. Okay, all right. Now, our school, it doesn't limit applications to the school to men who already embrace the London Baptist Confession of Faith. But we do make it very clear to them if they want to enroll in the school, and we make it clear to their pastor mentor. They all have to have a pastor mentor, that the kind of education and training they're going to be given is going to be consistent with the theological perspectives of the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. And so if they're willing to accept that and agree to that, then we'll accept them into the school, because we're glad to teach them the truth, right? So anyway, do you subscribe to the 1689 London Baptist Confession? We had 50 responses to that survey, and you'll see the vast majority, yes, fully, 40%, 50%, 40% yes, mostly, and then the little yellow sliver, yes, loosely, and then the smaller little sliver, no. So we have some students who have entered into the seminary not subscribing to the Confession of Faith. And but this is an opportunity for us to teach them these things if they're open to receiving that kind of training. All right, next, some graduate testimonies. These are some of our graduates this year. Colin Reuter, with a diploma of theological studies, and there he is with his family. And you can just read down through that. I'll not try to read for you. Just leave it up there a moment. You know, I don't know. I thought about that. We talked about that in the board meeting, and when I pulled this up, I realized that these testimonies don't actually state where these people live, but they're scattered throughout different parts of the country. Okay. I'm not moving again here, brother. This is moving here, but it's not moving on the screen. Pick it up here. Okay. See what I mean? Okay, let's see. We'll just do the best we can here. All right, that's not coming up. Okay, we have another student here, Mupelelo Kuning, and I believe he's from Kenya, I'm not sure. And it's not showing up. Um, and then also Murungi Igweta, who finished his Master Divinity degree, and he's a pastor in Kenya, and a dear brother that I've met, part of RBNet, and we have his, but I'm sorry you guys can't see any of these. This is not good. I'm kind of left hanging up here. Don't know what to do with this, Charles. Okay. These people are trying to figure out what we're talking about here. Okay, just scroll through those testimonies. Okay. All right, you can stop there. All right, we've kind of reorganized our programs, and we've started two new programs, which were kind of a reorganization of some programs that we had. One that we call the Scholars Program. This is 60 credits. It's a Master of Arts, and you can focus in biblical studies or in theological studies. And that just means that you have the four areas of theological encyclopedia. There's exegetical theology, systematic theology, historical theology, and pastoral theology. And if you're getting the MDiv, you take all of the courses in all four of those areas. But if you're getting the Master of Arts, you may focus where most of your courses would be in the exegetical theology, where you would study like survey of the Old and New Testament or introduction to the New Testament, introduction to the Old Testament, hermeneutics, Greek and Hebrew, and those things that have to do with the study of the text of Scripture. And then you would supplement it with courses from some of the other areas, and that's how that degree is laid out. But then the Master of Arts in Theological Studies, you would take all of the systematic theology courses, and then you would supplement from other areas, the systematic and the historical theology courses, and supplement from other areas. So that's basically how that degree works. And you can go to the website. Our website's, I think it's an excellent website, and you can go to the academic button, and it'll explain all of these degrees and what's involved and what the courses are that you have to take, and it's all there for you. Okay, the certificate program is something new that we just started. And this is more just for the average layman. And you remember I've been talking to you about the 1689 Project. And in the times when I've taught the chapter on the confession in our study through the confession that we do periodically, those are the chapters that I'm going to be teaching for this. I have like 11 lectures, I think, on all the chapters that have to do with the doctrine of salvation. And then there are a number of other lectures working all the way through the Confession of Faith. And all of that's being digitalized, videoed. It'll be available in that form. And also the material is going to be published in book form. And that's going to be something that can be used in a Sunday school class, an adult Sunday school class, in a lot of different areas where it's kind of a quick overview of the teaching of the confession. And this is Dr. Borgman teaching. This is out in Sacramento, where they had the course on the doctrine of God and his decree and a few of the other chapters there near the beginning of the Confession of Faith. He and Dr. Gonzalez taught those courses. And you can move to the next one if you're able to do that. These are the live modules that we hosted. As many of you know, we also host theological modules around the country in different places where all of the lectures for a course are given within a week's period of time. The students who are taking it for credit, they still have to do the reading, they have to write the papers and fulfill all the assignments and so forth. But we hosted one on the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit back in September. You can change the next one. And this is John Ruther. That's not John Ruther, but the guy before him was John Ruther. How many of you know John Ruther? Some of you probably remember, heard his name at least, but he's a pastor up in New Jersey. And his material on the Holy Spirit has actually been put in book form and has recently been published. And it's really excellent material. And he lectures for us on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Okay, next. Next. That's just a student. This was the first module in the 1689 theology project I was talking to you about. Next. And again, there's Dr. Gonzalez lecturing on the Holy Scriptures, chapter 1 in the Confession, and Dr. Borgman on God and the Holy Trinity and of God's decree, those two chapters. Okay, next. There's the mad theologian. That's what we were joking with him. He looked mad. We thought he looked mad. But anyway, there he is. Not really. He's not mad. But that's Dr. Borgman. Okay. And there he is again. Now this, if you'll pause there, this is not the sanctuary or the meeting place for worship for the church in Sacramento, but there was another kind of a mission house kind of building over near their church that they were able to get and purchase. And they set this up as the room for the modules that they host there. Okay? Great. And that's the question and answer session. It's also recorded. And there's the shirts. And you can order those off of the internet if you would like a nice shirt. Some of you have seen me wear that shirt around different places. And that's all the people who were there for that particular module. Now, these are some really ugly guys. This is the module that we hosted here in May on biblical ethics. And you'll see there myself and Pastor Kennicott, who's here today, will be preaching for us this evening. He and his wife Felicia are here. And then Dr. Gonzalez. And some of you guys, and that's an old-looking fella there. That's the young-looking fella there. And then there's Dr. Gonzalez lecturing. And this is Vadim, who is our tech guy. And he's doing the recording and getting all of that digitalized for us. And these are some of you guys here and others who are visiting. There's everyone. Pastor Kennicott is lecturing on critical theory. And there's a lot of the folks who attended. Some of you aren't able to attend all of them, but these are the ones that were there the day that we took the photo. There's my beautiful wife. Okay, these are modules that are planned. They're upcoming. Introduction to the Old Testament, and that's going to be in, that's actually going to be a class that Dr. Gonzalez is going to teach on site that's going to run from September to November. So that's actually a live course that he'll be teaching, and that'll be recorded as well to go on the website. And then the next 1689 Theology Project module will be in December. And Christian Life and Worship, and those are the three men there. Then in May, we'll be doing the Doctrine of Salvation. I'll be going out in May to Sacramento to their studio there to lecture on that. RBS International is a wing of Reformed Baptist Seminary. We've been involved in ministerial training in different countries in the world from the very beginning. In fact, the whole idea of having these modules like this and taking people through a course of studies with modules in different countries started in Pastor Arocha's down in Santiago, Dominican Republic. It started in his kitchen. He and I with a notepad. And there had been some events that happened that I won't go into that had put a real damper in efforts to train men there. And so we were talking about what's another way we can do this rather than someone actually moving to the Dominican Republic. And so we developed this idea of 12 modular courses for men there. And then took that back. I used that kind of as leverage to encourage Bob Gonzalez to come to Easley to help me. And he came, and we started teaching modules in the Dominican Republic. We took a large group of guys through 12 courses, and we ended up with about three or four series of these modules with guys in the DR and even men from other Latin American countries. One of the men was a guy from Colombia who wanted us to do this in Colombia, and Sam Waldron was working with us at the time, and so Sam went down and did a Bible conference there to kind of check out and see how serious these men were and whether this was something we could do, and came back with a positive report, and we started raising money. We decided if we get half the money raised, we'll start doing it. So once we had half of the money committed for all the modules, it was cost about $2,500 at that time per module, we started doing it in Colombia. And so probably three, I think, series of 12 to 13 modules that have been done there. And now if you'll flip over, we've been still doing the work in Colombia, in Dominican Republic, helping with that. But one of the students there who was in that first group that went through the first series of modules, Juan Perez, is now the dean, and they've established their own seminary there and locally, and they work together with us, and we work together with them and help them and supplement the courses that they're not able to teach there. And then we were invited by Heart Cry Ministries. Now I can't remember the name of the guy. Everybody's heard of him. Paul Washer. Yeah, that's the ministry that he's one of the overseeing board members of it. And they contacted us to see if we would help them train men in Nepal because they had opportunities and doors open there. And so we did put together a series of studies and a schedule. And there have been several modules that have been taught there in Nepal already. But as you can see, if you're reading this, because of COVID, both the labors in the Dominican Republic and in Nepal are kind of put on hold right now. And we hope that we'll be able to pick back up with those soon. So that's what's going on. We call this RBS International. And it's not the same level that you would get in the seminary itself. It's streamlined courses that can be taught fairly quickly and that help these men, many of which have no theological training at all. I know when I was in the Dominican Republic teaching over the years, that a lot of the men I was teaching were Pentecostal, and they really were nothing. And what I mean by that is they really didn't understand the Bible at all, and they were just wanting to be taught. They were very hungry to be taught. And so I remember the first time I went there to one of these countries, I thought, wow, this is kind of like the Wild West. You know, it's whoever gets there first holds the land, you know, because these men are hungry for the truth, and if they get the right kind of theology. And so it was encouraging to see what the Lord has done there and continues to do, and the same in Colombia. All right, so we managed to get through that. Now, do you have any questions? Yes, Vivian. We got about 5 minutes. I wish we'd had more time, but...
Okay, just real curious. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a percentage, and I couldn't read the heading. What did that percentage represent?
I think what you're talking about is the chart that showed the percentage, the interest in the seminary from different countries. Is that the one where you had the list of all the countries?
Yeah,
that was showing how many people have showed an interest in the seminary from that country, whether they've... contacted the seminary, or that we've had hits in our website from that country. That's what that represented.
And that was Nigeria had the highest percentage, and I just wondered what that was.
Yeah, the highest percentage was the United States.
And then,
yeah, Nigeria was in there, though. It was in the top 10. Yeah, it was. Yeah, let me just kind of clarify about the programs, because that can be confusing, and there's been some changes. What are the programs that are offered? There's the Divinity, Master Divinity. That's 97 credit hours. There's the Scholars Program, that's 60 credit hours. You have the Master of Arts in Biblical Studies. You remember the Master of Arts in Theological Studies, the two tracks. Then there's what we call the Marrow. And that's what Jeff Barker graduated with, the Marrow degree. It's the we call it a Master of Theological Studies. It's 34 credit hours. And then the Certificate Program, which is the new thing, the 1689 Theology Project, that's a 24 credit study. And you get a certificate if you finish the material. And I encourage you to go to the website and check out. You'll find a lot of answers to questions you may have there. We have six students right now in our church who are enrolled in the seminary. And the one thing I will say is I think every student that we have right now, now we have two new students who haven't actually started, they're just now starting taking courses, but of the four students who have been in the program for a while, no one has less than a 3.75 grade point average. So they're doing very well and doing excellent. And we have a couple of people who are going to be applying for the seminary here pretty soon. I'm excited about that in our own church. Any questions? Yep, Steve.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 53% or 56%. Mm-hmm. Then the next smallest category that held, I guess, loosely was 40%.
No, mostly. Yeah.
Mostly.
Let me see if I can pull that up. And again, this is where they were when they enrolled.
Okay. Did you find any commonality in the... The people that didn't agree completely, they agreed mostly.
No, I don't interview them. I'm not the person that interviews them, so I don't know that. I wouldn't know the details about each of those situations.
If you were to take a guess off the top of your head, what would you think would be the most common point of disagreement?
Probably the Sabbath. Okay. I'm pretty certain that would be it.
That's the one right there.
Yeah. Is that it? Did I get it up there?
Yeah.
Well, it worked. Okay. Yeah, so the 40% are yes, mostly. And, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, it's going to be the Lord's Day. And that's why I put so much detail and time into those lectures on the Lord's Day for the Christian ethics course.
So the blue thing, the
Pope. Hmm? No. Let me say that the 56% we're talking about there, most of them would hold to the same exceptions that we do, that we don't necessarily subscribe to the statement about elect infants or the statement about the Pope being the Antichrist. And so I think that would be true of all of them. Yeah. There may be a rare exception. There may be someone in the school who believes the papacy, the institution of the papacy, represents the Antichrist, and there is a credible argument that's been made in history for that, and I don't really have the time to develop that right now, but yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
That one graph showed the increase in number of people signing up for this particular courses and everything. It seems to me that, you know, with people praying and everything, that this could expand exponentially here in the next few years. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts about how logistically, but also having people in place to handle this increase if it does happen.
Yeah, that's a lot of what we talked about in our board meeting this year, you know. And another thing is the guys that are on the board right now, we're not getting any younger, and the need for fresh men to bring in to the kind of leadership roles in the school so that the school is able to continue to go forward in the future. I mean, one of the blessings on our board is most of the guys on the board were all actually really, really good friends. And we've known each other for years, and we have a history together. And so that makes it a very comfortable board to be on, because we can actually really discuss and debate things and, you know, not hold our punches, and actually we know we love each other, and we laugh about it afterward, you know, when we disagree. But sometimes we disagree, and we're able to hammer out things and have the kinds of discussions that you really need to have on a board. And so that's a unique dynamic that we have. And so, you know, I think it's going to need to be the right kind of men that we bring in to gradually add to the board and to begin to transition with new leadership. And then we're going to eventually need more technical help and more secretarial help. And a part of the vision that some of us have is that some of these site locations themselves would become as more established training centers, where guys could even move to a location like here in at Emmanuel, and utilizing Reformed Baptist Seminary's material, also get a lot of live instruction here on site. Yeah, that's a vision that I really have for our church. I'd like to see that happen in the future. Yeah. Okay, real quick. Yep.
Knowing that there's a need in churches for pastors to be raised up, A lot of these students, is that their goal, is to be sent out and be pastors?
Yeah, some of them. But if you notice, some of them, that's true. And some of them have been settled into pastoral situations. But you may have noticed that the vast majority, the largest percentage of guys that we're training are men that are either already part-time in the ministry, or they're already pastors. Mm-hmm. So the real burden and need of our time right now in our churches is that God would raise up men, right, young men, who are called to the ministry and have a burden for the ministry, that we can train. Because there's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of churches that have pastors who are getting their last days. You know, they're getting older, and they don't have anyone, they don't have another guy to come in. And I have a list that I keep in my computer in a file of churches that I know of that are looking for a pastor. And there are churches that I know about that right now don't have a pastor. So the opportunities are there. You know, if we had the men and the young men, they're not going to lack for a place to serve, that's for sure. The need's great. And also for planting churches. You can't plant churches. You know, we can talk about the Great Commission, and we want to be committed to missions, and we want to be committed to church planting, but that involves a commitment to training men that can be sent out to do those things. So, all right, we're over time a little bit, so I'm going to have to cut off any more questions. I'm sorry about that, Jan. We're about 4 minutes over time, so, but feel free to ask me privately afterward. Okay, all right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to review these matters, and we pray that you would use us as a church in whatever small way we can be involved to see men raised up to faithfully proclaim and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to plant churches and to take the gospel to people who have never heard. We also thank you for how you've multiplied and grown this ministry over the years, even way beyond that what we even imagined at the beginning. And we pray that this would just be the beginning of even greater things that you would do in the days and years to come. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church and on our current building project, you can visit us online at ebcfl.org. That's ebcfl.org.